You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives. And we are so very excited today as we bring to you another Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind show. But today's guest is Devin Bennett. And Devin is a 20-year-old born Miami, used to be resident, but not now. He lives, well, we'll let him share with you his story. But we are so very excited to have on the show with us today Nefreda Thomas from our mastermind group called The Conquered is going to interview, introduce, if you will, Devin. But just to give you a little bit about who we are, what we do, as the Think and Grow Rich International Masterminders, we use the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill to determine the forward future for every single area of our life. This includes our family, friends, children, coworkers, anybody that will sit still long enough to hear from us. And we've had great successes, and today's show is going to be another demonstration of that success. So first of all, we'd like to introduce Nefreda Thomas. Good morning, Nefreda. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. How is everybody? And I hope you had a great holiday. It is an honor and a pleasure to be on the show this morning to talk about a dynamic young man who has taken what he learned at a very young age to his adulthood life, and he wants to also be able to give back. So it is my pleasure to be able to discuss about talking about Devin. I encountered him at the Upward Bible program at Fort Memorial University here in Miami, Florida. And during that time, we shared the book Think and Grow Rich with the students. And Devin began reading that book. I didn't even know he was really interested in going beyond from reading the book. And we had a youth group or youth program. And we started a youth program based on the Think and Grow Rich book, trying to build entrepreneurs as they were in college or preparing for college. I believe Devin was 15 or 16 years old when he started this process and started reading this book. So the first event that we had that he was able to come to was our annual mastermind event. It was a field trip for most of the students from the Upward Bound program, and Devin was one of those students. When Devin came to the meeting, he was in a suit and tie. And when I say a suit and tie, he had a nice sweater with the tie, nice dress slacks. I mean, he was one of those kids that you really wanted to walk up to and find out what was on his mind. And as the day progressed, Devin had questions about the book and questions about what does this mean to be able to do things on my own and to be able to be an entrepreneur and just somebody going to college. How do I turn this around for myself? And so I'm going to let him expound more on that. But I did want to give that brief of an introduction about how much of a go-getter he was at the age of 15 or 16 and how he was a little different than most of the kids in our class. And it was just a awesome pleasure to have him aboard. So let me just once again welcome Devin to the show, and I'm so very, very proud of him. So, Devin, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Nefreda. Thanks for the introduction. Like you said, that day when I came in that shirt and tie, that's kind of like the only way I know how to dress or represent myself and my family at the time. Going to that annual meeting, I learned a lot. Actually, I tried to take full advantage of the opportunity that I was given at the time. understanding that a lot of inner city youth kids that came where I'm from don't have that opportunity to get in contact with Think and Grow Rich Masterminds. So I was just trying to take full advantage of the opportunity, ask questions, get in contact with new people, just to stay afloat, just so that I will not get involved into anything outside of football that I was doing at the time. So I was always just trying to stay around positive things and positive people and just do right.
Yeah, Devin, this is Ann McNeil again, and I actually remember that day, and thank you so much for Nefreda for reminding us, because I thought it was so interesting that for it to be your very first attendance at our annual meeting. And just for our listeners, so you understand what we're talking about, every year for the last over 20 years, actually, we've had a what's called an annual meeting. And this annual meeting is normally held in January. Actually, in 2018, it's going to be held on January 6th, 2018 at the Embassy Suites. But we all come together and we bring our goals in writing for 10 areas of our lives. Our spiritual goals, family, financial, education, health, our personal development, our business or career or school goals, our recreation, our civic, and our creativity goals. And we set those goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and for some, we set goals out 40 years for the future. And we look at what have we done in the past, what are we planning on doing for the future, and we bring those goals in writing. So when Devin came and he was prepared, it was not quite an anomaly, but it was very refreshing. So, Devin, thank you so very much for sharing. And what I'd like to do now is you share with us, Devin, just a little bit about yourself, just so that our audience know that Devin is 24 years old. Like I said, he's born and raised in Miami, and he started masterminding using the Think and Grow Rich philosophy really about the age of 16. He also attended Miami Northwestern High School, where he played football and earned a scholarship to attend Merriam University in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now his goals, why don't you share with us, Devin, what your goals are for the future for our listeners?
Right now, my goal is for the future, is to someday have my own youth program so I can inspire other youth to become masterminders and to think and grow rich. That way we can bring together a generation of kids, you know, having that mastermind ability to succeed. Because That first event that I did with Ms. Thomas, it was great. It actually was a jump start to my life at that time, because as a junior in high school, football season was over. I really didn't have anything to do at that time, and the mastermind was right there. And when I went to that event, we had to set up our annual goals for that year. So at that time, I didn't know nothing about setting goals and writing an action plan to accomplish those goals. My goals were just speaking it, and then try to remember what I said and do it from there. But when I actually wrote down my portfolio for my goals for that year, I actually was able to get a lot of things done through the help of Ms. Thomas and other people that I met through the Mastermind program. I began to fill out scholarship applications. To get scholarship award. I actually started applying for different colleges, setting my goals for things that I want to do up and coming into my senior year that I want to get done. And that way, once I graduate, I know I have everything in order that I want to get done. Right now, I'm currently living in Wisconsin. I moved up here at the beginning of January with my brother. He's on a mobile window city business down in Miami. And now we operate that up here in Wisconsin. I do that on the side. Also, right now, I work as a security officer for Dollar General Warehouse. And I have a family of three. I have a newborn son that's 1 year old. My oldest daughter is five. And my second daughter, she's one.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much, Devin. Now, talking about your goals, can you share with us, you know, how do you fight off any kind of personal depression or any kind of negative that may come as a result of just life as you use the principles from the book, or do you use the principles from the book?
Well, I'm not actually using the principles for the book for that matter. But one thing I do to try to fight off depression, I started exercising a lot now. I notice when I run, my mind goes into a reset mode. That way I'm able to block out a lot of the negative things that probably might be going on at the time. And when I'm able to run and work out, I kind of condition my mind and strengthen it at the same time. So that's kind of how I deal with any little problem that I may face. I try to get in the gym and work it out.
All right. Now, along the same lines, when you're setting your goals, do you actually keep your partner in mind as you set your own goals?
Yes. That's something I have done, and I believe that I'm obligated to do because of the fact that I try to compromise with my partner whenever we're doing anything, even when it's not dealing with goals. I try to compromise with my partner, ask questions, to see if she agree with things, to see if it's going to lead us in the right direction together. So when I'm setting my goals, I'm keeping her in mind and her goals too. That way, we're not throwing each other off track.
All right, now that's great. I think that, you know, when we talked about doing this show, we have a lot of individuals who've been masterminding with us that are listening in. And we just want to make sure that as we move forward with the principles of the book, we stay in the book, and we talked about that previously. Is there any particular area of the book you liked more than any other?
At the beginning of the book, you know, I was reading a story about how the guy, let me see what's it. One moment. Yeah, at the beginning of the book, it was telling a story about the guy who was he was three feet from goal. I think his name was R.U. Darby. And he was just digging for gold in the minefield. And they find gold, but as they kept digging, they began to see that they don't have no more gold in that spot. So they end up selling away their machine. And when they sold away their machine, it was a guy who liked to buy junk things. And he brought that machine. And when he used that machine, like, well, you know what? It's something ain't right here. And he fixed it. And when he fixed it, he went back to that same site and he started digging. When he dug, he found gold. And he became rich because the other guy quit. So I find that interesting because when we doing things, we get hard on ourselves sometimes. And by getting hard on ourselves, we end up either quitting or just leaving it alone for someone else to come take your idea, your hard work, and move along with it. So that right there is very interesting in this book, the beginning part of the book. And to say, I wanted to point this out in the book, dealing with that lesson, because it says, before success comes in any man's life, he is sure to meet with much temporary defeat and perhaps some failure. When defeat overtakes a man, the easiest and most logical thing to do is quit. And that's exactly what the majority of men do.
Now, Devin, can you read that again? Because I had to write that down and tweet that. So let me make sure I got it right. Can you just please, for the listeners and for Ann McNeil, can you please read that one more time?
Say, before success comes in any man's life, he is sure to meet with much temporary defeat and perhaps some failure. When defeat overtakes a man, the easiest and most logical thing to do is quit.
Wow, that is powerful. That is so powerful. I think we're going to take a commercial break so that we can just let that simmer like a really good pot of beans. So for all of our listeners, hang in with us. We're going to go to commercial and we'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right. Thank you. And we are back. Now, at this point, Devin, I think you had some questions for me as a part of the show.
Yes. I wanted to read some of the book first and then ask you the question.
Okay, go ahead.
A moment.
And while Devin is finding that, we want to encourage all of our listeners, if you have read the book Think and Grow Rich, please pick it up and reread it. If you have not read it, you can get a copy online or a hard copy and really, really, as you read the book, allow the book to read you. You can also join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. as we walk through the book with our special guest, or just reading through the book and sharing. It's very exciting as we look forward to the future in terms of masterminding, but using the Think and Grow Rich success philosophy. All right, Devin, you ready?
Yes. This reading comes from Chapter 8, Decision, the Mastery of Procrastination. The majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are generally easily influenced by the opinions of others. They permit the newspapers and the gossiping neighbors to do their thinking for them. Opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Everyone has a flock of opinions ready to be wished upon anyone who will accept them. If you are influenced by opinions, when you reach decision, you will not succeed in any undertaking, much less in that of transmuting your own desire into money. If you are influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. Keep your own counsel when you begin to put into practice and principles described here. By reaching your own decisions and following them, take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group. And be very sure in your selection of this group that you choose only those who will be in complete sympathy and harmony with your purpose. Close friends and relatives would not meaning to do so often handicap one's through opinions and sometimes through ridicule, which is meant to be humorous. Thousands of men and women carry inferiority complex with them all through life because some well-meaning but ignorant person destroyed their confidence through opinions or ridicule. My question for you, are there goals that you set to make sure that no one can do nor say to derail you from them goals becoming reality?
Okay, so now your question to me is, based upon what you've read, if I've set goals that I've decided that no one, I will allow no one to derail me, is that what your question is?
Yes. If so, can you explain a time when you, like what I would like to say, put a protection plan on your goal?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely and absolutely. Thank you. One of the stories I like to tell is about the fact that as we mastermind, Nefreda, myself, and or actually with a group of 10 women. And each Saturday morning at 7 a.m., we would come together and rotate houses, meeting places, and we would sit down and we'd talk about our goals. And one of the goals I had, when I talk about way back, I mean way, way, way back. But one of the goals I had around the 80s or 90s was to get my general contractor's license. And so each week, as we go through the 10 areas, I would say, "Oh, I'm gonna get my license," and then next week I'm gonna get my license. And one of the mastermind members, I won't call her name because I've shared this story many times before, because I think it's a defining point for me in my business, but also in my life. And she close to cursed me, and she said, "You know, basically, I'm so sick and tired of hearing you say that. What are you going to do?" And so going to your question, you know, it's very important that we surround ourselves with like-minded and like-spirited people to help support us, even to the point of breaking whatever that is, in order to have a breakthrough to get to whatever it is you claim you want to do, Ann McNeil. And so, you know, she said, take a class, you know, sign up, take a class, something, but you've got to do something. Don't just keep coming back saying, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but we don't hear anything you're saying that you're going to actually do. What action are you going to take? And so, of course, I was very impacted by that, not so much in a negative way, but in a very positive way, because the next week I came back, I did exactly what was suggested by the group, actually, and that was to take a class. So I spent the next 5 days looking for a course that I could take, and I found a course in Florida that I could sign up and take the prep course to pass the general contractor's exam in the state of Florida. And so I'm very excited to say that at this point, I am the first black female contractor in the state of Florida operating at the level that I do, but it came out of surrounding myself. So to go back to your question about the decision and the naysayers and the negatives, we're going to always have that. But we have to make sure you can determine the difference between the two. You know, if it's somebody who's supporting you or if it's somebody who's just saying anything and everything that may be negative to defeat what you're looking to do. So hopefully that answers the question, but that is how that's just one example in my life since 1979, since I've been doing this. This is just one short answer, example, actually, that explains how I've been able to overcome that. Now, did you have another question? Because we want to open the line up to our callers in the event that they may have a question for you.
Yes, I have one more question. So how did you explore your window opportunity in the construction business? Because I know I read in your, on your profile that you kind of came out between around the 80s and 90s when after the Miami riots. So was that something that you looked into as I mean, you gained like knowledge, like, all right, you had a business mind, like, you know, I see there's a lot of things that just happened like throughout the riots, and you figure if you go into this field, you can help build up the community. Was that a mindset, or was just like what was there when you get into that field?
I'm sorry, Sharon, you had a question before I answer his question?
Yes, I'm sorry I interrupted, but I would like to piggyback on that question. When you first entered in, I remember I was working for the city of West Palm Beach, and the city of West Palm Beach had minority goals. So now most of those are gone. So as you continue to work, I would like to piggyback on his question and say, could you be mindful about how you change your strategy to stay relevant and make money in the construction field when most municipalities and a lot of other government entities have taken away their minority requirement?
Well, thank you so very much, Sharon, and also, Devin, thank you for your question. But let me go back to Devin's question about, you know, if it was, you know, how I got into the construction industry. I go back to the exam, and I would love to say that I was so altruistic and so mindful of the people, and so no. I was broke. The answer to the question is that I was broke. I was very broke. And that's part of how the International Mastermind Association, using the book Think and Grow Rich, came into being because, again, December 31st, 1979, 9 p.m., when I picked up this book for the very first time and I began to walk through the six steps to riches, the first question he asked me, and I want to ask every listener, and I want to ask you this, Devin, to ask yourself the question. And my version of the book is on page 28, but it's in the second chapter. Some books you have, it may be in the first chapter. And it's called Six Steps to Riches. So to answer both of your questions, if we stay relevant in the book, both books, the book, which is, you know, the book, that book, for me, that book is the Bible. But this book of philosophy by Napoleon Hill, The Success Philosophy, it helps us. Well, how helped me, which was the question, it helped me to weekly think about how much money do I want. And at first, I set the amount $1,000. So, Devin, I looked at the fact that where was the money? I first had to get out of debt, but I had to find a way to first identify my debt, then find a way to resolve the debt. It took years. But in the process, I kept realizing my job would not do it alone. And then as I looked at getting it, I did a lot of other businesses where I got into the construction business, and they just could not generate the kind of money that I needed to pay off my debt and to make money and to save money. And so when I realized that the money, that there was money in construction, and going to your question, Sharon, about being relevant in these days and times as the programs are going away, I began to realize that we have to add value in creating strategic partnerships with our clients. We have to add value. And if you add value to a client, regardless of whether or not you're white, black, green, yellow, or purple, if you can show a client where they can save money, make money, save time, and be profitable, that, I believe, that transcends a lot of the challenges that we have as blacks and as women and as small businesses in any industry. Just so happens that I am in the construction industry, but I have found that when I can add value to my customers, I can add value to their customers, and oftentimes their customers are public sector agencies, and my clients are normally contractors and engineers and subcontractors. And so that is how I have found to be relevant. In addition to that, Sharon, go back to your question, another way to be relevant is to add value to your friends, add value to your associates, and teach other people how to do the same. And this is one of the reasons why this book, Think and Grow Rich, the philosophy is so very important, because we can talk all day until we're green in the face, and if people are not willing to read and act on what they've read, there's no change. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how much we talk it. If we're not walking the walk, walking the talk, if we're not putting the action to our faith and putting action to our feet with our faith, then it's not going to change. So, Sharon, if there's any add-on, and Devin, if there's any add-on to your question, that's my response, as short as I can make it with the time that we have for the show. But I think that it's very important, like I said in the beginning of the show, that we stay focused on the principles of success and we live them. So all of your lines are open if you have another comment. I know the time is well spent. We only have a few minutes left. And actually, we're actually a minute or two out of time. So hopefully that helped to answer your question, Devin.
Yes, I just want to say thank you. You really did a great job of answering that question. I'm actually inspired. But thank you.
All right, well, Sharon, we're going to go ahead and prepare to wrap up the show. Devin, we want to thank you, Nefreda, and all of our callers. We want to thank you so very much for calling in and sharing Devin's story and Devin's questions and his responses. And, Devin, I always like to ask our guests one question before we wrap the show, and that is, what is your favorite book? Because I think that, like Charlotte Tremendous Jones says, you know, we will be the same in 5 years as we are today, except for two things, and that is the books we read and the people we meet. And so as a part of this radio show, we encourage people to read in different areas of our lives. So, Devin, if you would share with us your favorite book, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the show.
My favorite book is Me and Their Mind. Reading why
and in any particular
book.
Yeah, any particular section or any reason why? Any particular section or reason why?
Well, it's just the old, like in the beginning of the book, it basically point out the fact that, you know, as millionaires, a lot of the millionaires, their money comes from generational wealth. Basically, the money being passed down from grandfather to the son, from the son to the other son. So it's like just building generational wealth. Being able to pass things down, understanding that, like, I have a couple of numbers here where it say, like, only two, let me see, I have a couple of numbers here for you. Like, most of the millionaires, like, we think because they make a lot of money that they're going to buy the finer things for their family when it's actually kind of backwards. We as people who is in the minority, we think that, so then when we don't have much money, but we go out and try to spend most of the money on trying to spend a lot of money on the wedding ring and things of that nature. But these millionaires, they're spending now on average of about $3,500 on a wedding ring. But they're making millions of dollars, so we think they're spending tens and thousands of dollars of wedding rings and cars of that nature. Some of them don't even drive. Only drive American-made cars. So we thinking they're driving foreign, but they only drive an American-made car. So there's a lot of things that they were pointing out in that book that just opened my eyes to see how these millionaires think.
That is an eye-opener. Thank you so very much for sharing. So we want to thank our callers. We want to thank our listeners and those who were listening in the future. And right now we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show and thank you everyone and have a very good day.
All right, thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.